Welcome to Straight Talk with Dr. L, where we make complex topics about young children, families, parenting, and womanhood simple. Because high-quality knowledge and information about navigating parenting, family, and life should be accessible, digestible, and usable for everyone. Hello, good people, and welcome to Straight Talk with Dr. L, where I love to give it to you straight. And I love to give it to you straight because I believe that knowledge is power. With that said, I further believe that having knowledge that you can use because you understand it well is a superpower. And I love helping people develop superpowers. Now, because I believe in working hard until you understand something, like really understand something, to the point you own the knowledge so securely that you can transfer that knowledge in any situation and apply it to your everyday life. I generally do pretty well in tasks that I endeavor to achieve. With that said, I have one Achilles heel. Maintaining my weight. I am constantly working on my weight and my eating habits because I developed really poor habits related to food and exercise during my childhood. While there have been many unhealthy habits that I was exposed to in my youth, most of which I've overcome, diet and exercise are a constant battle for me. And if you understood the way I see the world, you would know that that is an extremely strong statement for me to make. Because I seldom speak, actually hardly ever speak in deficit language. So I don't often use words like struggle or battle. But when it comes to food and exercise, those are the only words that come to mind. See, the issue with developing poor dietary habits when you are young is your palate gets acclimated to those foods. So when you are hungry, you have a taste for the foods that you were introduced to. Therefore, while my conscious brain tells me that I should be eating fruits and vegetables and whole foods, the unconscious part of me feels most comfortable deferring to what is most familiar. The same thing goes for exercise. Now, mind you, I actually love to exercise. Whenever I am outdoors and I am exercising, I feel amazing. In addition to that, once I finish a workout, I feel accomplished. But most importantly, when I am moving my body and working out, my brain feels good. And my most prized possession is my brain. So I really love that. I come up with some of my best ideas while I'm working out. So I actually love to work out. So one would think that I would rush to work out every chance that I got. However, my habits from young associate working out and playing outside to frivolous activities. During my childhood, I spent most of my time inside. First, as a child who had to hurry home after school and lock myself inside because my mother didn't get home from work until 5:30 p.m. So my job was to stay inside, clean up the house, and throw out the chicken before she got home. Therefore, at 7 years old, I wasn't going outside to ride my bike and play. I was inside doing work. Then, when I moved in with my father at the age of 10, he and his wife had three younger children. So my job then became being the babysitter, which meant, as opposed to doing outdoor activities with children my age, I was inside working as a caregiver to young children. Now, due to this adultification and parentification while very young, I developed a self-reliant and an extremely strong work ethic. But I also associated outdoor play with being frivolous. It was a luxury, something you do when everything else was done. And oftentimes, the list of things to do was so long that outdoor playtime simply never happened. So now as an adult, the first thing that I give up if I'm stressed, times are hectic, or I have hard deadlines is exercise. Because in my unconscious mind, it's frivolous. It's a luxury and something I can do only when everything else is done. Now, couple that unconscious mentality about exercise with another unconscious comfort of making poor food choices during stressful times, and you have a recipe for rapid weight gain. I just recently experienced a rapid weight gain during the final stages of my dissertation. One, I didn't go outside and exercise because I was on a really pressing deadline. So I woke up every day and I worked. Because to my subconscious mind, research and writing were the important stuff. And two, in addition to not making exercise a priority, my stress level was through the roof. Therefore, I grabbed the foods that I found most comfortable. And my mind most easily gravitated towards food that were not good for me, but were familiar and seemingly easy. Now, I'm going to tell you something. In the spirit of honesty, the foods I ate during my dissertation stage consisted of tater tots, strawberry soda, and lots of bagels. Shh, don't tell nobody I told you that now. So, I say this to say that while I have a strong sense of self-efficacy in most areas of my life, when it comes to my weight, exercise, and eating habits, I really have to think about those things. That scares me. It scares me because I'm a mother. And as a mother, I am responsible for instilling healthy habits in my child. Now, I've always felt very comfortable in parenting, because I have the background of a teacher, specifically elementary and early childhood. Therefore, while I did not have positive parental models, I spent years, well over a decade, studying child development before I became a mother. So, what I didn't know intuitively as it related to caring for a child based on my previous experience of being a child, I knew academically. And in time, my academic abilities and my love for my child merged together and formed the mother that I am today. So I value high quality information because high quality information has allowed me to make high quality decisions easily during my time as a parent. But since I don't have mastery of the knowledge of eating, nutrition, and exercise as it relates to sustaining good decisions for a lifetime, I worry about the habits I am instilling in my son. Most parents, to include myself, want their children to be a better version of themselves. So, I don't want my son craving unhealthy food in his subconscious because that's what he's accustomed to eating. And I certainly don't want my child thinking that exercise is frivolous. And conversely, I don't want my son thinking that exercise is punitive. I want my child to have a healthy relationship with food and physical activity. So in those areas, I have to seek help. So today, because I need help in that area, and I really believe it's important for families to get high quality information broken down in straight talk so it's digestible, accessible, and usable in everyday life, I brought in an expert for us. I know that, like myself, many other families have to work extremely hard to think about exercise and food choices and how those things fit into our lives. I also think a discussion about nutrition and fitness is timely and necessary because we are currently sheltering in place. And we don't want to emerge from COVID-19 wearing the impact of not making good decisions as it relates to diet and exercise. So it is with great pleasure that I introduce to you Dr. LaShondra Newton. Dr. Newton is the CEO of Covenant Physical Therapy and Wellness Services, and she has invested over 20 years of her life working in Florida and Georgia school districts, advocating for health and wellness for children and their families as a physical therapist and as an administrator of school health programs. Dr. Newton is so invested that she created a whole foods cleanse to help families make high quality nutrition and fitness choices while sheltering in place. She is going to come and share with us some straight talk about the science behind diet and exercise and some of the strategies we can use in our home to support that science. Welcome to Straight Talk, Dr. Newton. Thank you for coming and hanging out with us.
Well, hello there. How are you? Thank you so much for having me. Of course, I appreciate it so much.
So when we were talking, I was telling you about some of the experience that I've had as a child, and you were telling me some really interesting things, not only about fitness and nutrition, but how you got to the point where this is such a passion of yours. Can you kind of walk our listeners through your journey to get you from where you were as a young woman to present day?
Oh, yes, definitely. Actually, this started for me in undergraduate school at Florida A&M University. And I originally went to FAMU to be a pharmacist, and I was in the pharmacy program. Unfortunately, I was in a car accident, and I had an injury to my left shoulder and my back. And so I had to have therapy because I had lots of pain and couldn't move in certain ways. And you know, I was in a sorority at the time, very active, but I couldn't participate fully. And this therapy brought me back to where I was before, where I could manage. And so, you know, I really had the notion, and thank goodness we had the opportunity to do that at Florida A&M. I changed my major to physical therapy, and that brought me on the path to where I am now. So I graduated from the physical therapy program, and once I started working on my own with different patients, I was in Florida at the time, I started to notice a disconnect between what the patients needed and what they were provided. I felt that they could manage themselves after receiving therapy or during receiving therapy.
So you're saying that one, you started out as a student who was in a car accident, and then you had this pivotal point in your life where you're like, well, you know what? Pharmacy might not be for me. I'm going to go into physical therapy. Now, when you go into physical therapy, you then have another turning point where you realize that the patients aren't getting everything that they need to move forward and be able to do this in their everyday life. So now, how did you get from there to the school?
Oh my goodness. So I went to school again because I thought, well, what is it? If I understand the business side of healthcare, mm-hmm. then maybe I can have a firmer grasp and understand why the patient wasn't getting what I saw as a clinician to what I felt as an administrator they would need. I went and got my master's degree in healthcare administration. And then that brought me to a job at the school district in Florida where I was the health administrator of a school health program.
Okay.
So that kind of started me on another journey where I recognized other issues in which I could be impactful. And this was directly related to students' immunization, nurses in schools, what they ate, and physical activity.
And I know we've had previous conversations about this. And one of the things that you brought up that was so interesting to me was the observations that you were making as a clinician in the school system, because you were there for the health program, but you were able to see some correlations between physical activity and eating choices and student performance. Can you talk about that a bit?
Oh, definitely. Every school has a PE program, a health program where they not only teach students about health in an academic sort of way, but they also have physical education. But what I started to see was with the implementation of grading schools and school testing, a lot of the physical activity that was even provided in the classroom was being taken away from students. Mm. I started to see that, teachers would use the removal of physical activity as a punishment. And I know they didn't mean, that in a negative way and didn't really understand how detrimental that was to students. But there's been lots of studies by the CDC, Columbia University, University of California, West Virginia, and others that have determined that physical activity does have an impact on cognitive skills and attitudes and even academic behavior. It helps students to have an enhanced concentration and attention span, and it even improves their behavior.
Wow.
And similarly, physical education does the same thing. The tests and research studies have proved that they have greater grades and standardized test scores. And physical activity and exercise has a direct impact on their behavior and the development of the brain.
Interesting. I love how you connected that science to it, because especially now that children are home with their family members, especially when you brought in that behavior part, I was like, I've had a lot of parents ask me questions about managing children's behavior at home, mm-hmm. because they're learning yes. different aspects of their children's personality. So what you're saying is physical activity could mitigate some of those behavior management issues that parents might be running into. Can you talk a little bit yes. about that? That's interesting.
Definitely, definitely. Because physical activity increases the oxygen flow to the brain. And, we have these neurotransmitters, which really are simply put as chemical messengers or filters from your mind to your body. They transmit messages and tell you how to react to situations, increase students' learning, memory, and higher thinking. So it's kind of like a synapse situation where the act of being involved in physical activity helps students mentally concentrate, helps Boom. Them learn, helps them think higher. Yes.
So if they're, and I said that earlier that I love working out because I get mm-hmm. my thoughts, my
yes,
good ideas
right.
come. Yeah. Boom. Now that's I've made a connection. I didn't even see that coming. Well, thank you.
Yes,
so,
you did.
Do some push-ups so you can do some problem solving.
That's right. That's right. And so push-ups are not something negative, not something to be used negatively. It's a positive thing. And, I've even had parents do push-up challenges with their students that I was working with during the pandemic. And they like, what can I do? My child, doesn't want to participate, or, they're getting sleepy, or they stayed up all night. But actually doing a challenge, making exercise fun.
Boom.
It is a positive thing. And it's something if you teach children to do, when they are adults, it's an activity that's a learned behavior that they will carry throughout their life. They won't see it as a consequence negatively. It's positive.
I'm sorry. Can you repeat that once again? That last part?
Yes, I can. Yes. If you will teach children to embrace physical activity as something positive to do and have them understand how it impacts their learning and impacts their brain, impacts their body positively, that is an activity and a learned behavior that they will carry through the rest of their life.
That's a whole word right there. So with that said, I'm curious about how the food comes into play, because that's my Achilles heel as well, because I have a taste for foods I probably shouldn't have a taste for. So how do I go about building healthy habits in my own son?
One of the ways that you can do it by modeling behavior is taking out slowly, and I believe you do things slowly so you can acclimate yourself to it, and something that you can, you know, continue forever and won't be so difficult. For example, cutting out fried foods, you know, maybe instead of having them every day, three times a week, until it's twice a week, until it's once a month, however that fits best for yourself, your child, and your family. Cutting down on sugary drinks and foods with high content of fat and foods that are processed, because there's a direct link between adequate nutrition and proper brain development.
I hear stuff like that all the time. But give me an example of what those high fat, high processed foods are in like every day. Like I'm in the grocery store. What shouldn't I put in my cart? Like something I think might be good, but it's not good. Can you break that down for me a little bit?
Oh yeah. Something that's in a box. Processed foods that are in packages are the ones that you want to steer clear of, or just not use as much of, maybe if that's a choice that you have been previously making. So for example, a package of macaroni and cheese, when you prepare it yourself, is healthier than packaged macaroni and cheese in a box.
Got it. So you're saying that when I do it, macaroni cheese itself is not necessarily bad, in the sense if I'm putting milk, eggs, cheese, and maybe some pasta. But if I go in, I'm getting, you know, a box macaroni and cheese, I'm putting the powder and all that, I'm putting stuff in my body that is different than the milk, eggs, and cheese. Well, that makes sense. Well, I gotta get over my grandmama. I can still my grandmama macaroni and cheese. That's a good thing.
I know it. Me too. And let me tell you, we know which one tastes better. But hey, that's okay at Thanksgiving and Christmas, but it's not something that we want to do every day, every week.
Right. You've given us a lot of information about the science of it, and you've given us a lot of information about why it is important to make those healthy choices. With that said, I'm a mom, and sometimes you forget, you know the science, but you're not thinking about the science. You know this is a choice you're supposed to make, but you're not necessarily thinking about that in the front of your brain. So can you give us a few tips that we could apply in like our lives today to start this slow change? It's something like, if I were to walk away from my time with you today, these are four or five things that I could certainly do and implement in my home.
Yes, definitely. The first one, especially if you have children, but even for yourself, is to read nutrition labels and teach children to do the same. If you're picking up something that's supposed to be chicken, but it has all these ingredients and the fifth or the sixth ingredient is chicken, that's something you don't want. It has too many additives that are going to be unhealthy for you. And if you actually, you know, if you're walking through the grocery store with your son, you pick up the label, you don't even have to tell him what you're doing. When he keeps seeing you doing that, that's a behavior you're modeling, and he's going to repeat it. He's probably going to ask you why. Actually, he's smart enough to already probably know why, but that's a model behavior. So reading nutrition labels is very important. Wow. Another one, which I do for myself, even, you know, so that I can make better choices when I get home and I'm busy and I have something else to do, is if you prepare healthy snacks and snack bags, or peel oranges and already cut them up in slices and have them out and ready, make mixes of granola, raisins, and nuts in little snack or sandwich bags or small containers that you leave out. If they're items that are readily accessible to you, then you're most likely to pick those.
That makes sense.
Yeah. another good tip is to chew slowly. And unlike we learned in our childhood, stop eating when you're full. When you are full, stop eating.
You know what? Someone once told me something about the big breath, because they say when you eat, there comes a time when you make this breath like, whew. Oh. And if the food is good, I keep going. But I'm now, my friend told me when you do that breath, it's time to stop, because your body has said, I have enough.
Yes. And then if you pay attention to your body, which is another tip, before you've gotten to that breath, you should have stopped eating then. That breath is an extra warning, because you're pushing back even. Like, you're pushing back when you do it, because I've done it too, especially if it's something that I can't have often. Sushi is one of my favorites. If I get to my favorite sushi place, I want to eat and eat and eat and eat. But I have learned to stop before I get before that pause comes, and just bring it home and eat it as a leftover later.
All right, you heard it here first. So don't wait till the pause, y'all. When you get to the pause, it's like, Lord, you've already gone too far.
That's right.
So before you get to the pause, box it up and take it home.
And home. That's right. That's right. You know, another tip is to ask your server to bring you a to-go plate or package, and then go ahead and cut half the food and put it in the to-go package and finish your meal that you have left on your plate, and you already know that you have something to take home. Because we know following serving size, when you're sitting, especially at a restaurant, when we can finally get back out and sit in restaurants, we probably want to sit there all day and eat everything on the food. But we are served, especially in America, food that is more than what we should be eating. So go ahead and cut it in half, put it away, and then enjoy what's on your plate. Another tip is to, and we talked about this a little bit earlier, is to increase physical activity inside and outside of the home. Make, small gains like hopping from the kitchen to the bathroom, hopping from the bathroom to your bedroom, just little things that incorporate physical activity. You don't have to just take out 30 minutes or an hour to do something. You can incorporate it out through the rest, all of your day.
All right, so with that, I'm going to be bunny hopping all around my house. Yeah. <That's> to burn out some extra calories.
And the last one I would give is make sure that you're hydrating throughout the day, not just waiting for exercise. And not, you know, the same thing you talked about when you're full and have the side, when you feel thirst or dehydrated, you've waited too long to hydrate. So keeping bottled water, a cup of water, wherever you are all day, and taking small sips, so that you're keeping yourself hydrated. That would be a final good tip for you.
So to understand what you just said, I shouldn't wait till I'm thirsty to drink water. I should be drinking it throughout the day. Boom, that makes sense too.
Your smart brain tells you when you're thirsty that you're becoming dehydrated. Or of course, if you're exercising, you know, you're going to be burning off fat and calories. And so your body does need to replenish, but you need to hydrate throughout the day. Not just when you feel thirst. That is the warning. Feeling the thirst is the warning.
Wow.
You want to preemptively strike.
And that's what everything is. That's how you just said about the preparing the meals in advance. That was like preemptively strike.
That's right.
Because one of the things that I appreciate about that was that not only did you say to take out an orange, you said to go ahead and cut it. Because I could see, I have a fruit bowl right in front of me and I pass it all the time. But if I go ahead and cut the oranges, then I can just grab that. Because like I was saying in my narrative earlier, things that were seemingly easy, I picked up. So I need to make the things that are good for me, easy for me.
That's right.
Okay, that's good
stuff. They'll become habits, just like the not so good habits we develop and continue, we can develop some healthy habits. And then we do it without thinking.
Right. So you've given us a lot of great information. And if you were to put it all in a package with a neat bow, how would you say it?
What I would say is to think about your body as like a car and the food you eat as fuel. Because if you keep your car in proper alignment and drive it safely, if you prevent excess wear and tear on your tires, what you're doing to your body, you can consider it the same way. You want to treat what you're putting into your body as far as foods with high nutrients and whole foods of good proteins, a balance of carbohydrates, protein, and fat. You're energizing your body so that it can be efficient and work best for you, similarly to the way that you would take care of a car to make sure it's operating efficiently and effectively.
Mm. So when you're out there with your Lexus, I don't even know if people drive Lexuses anymore. I drive a hybrid. I drive a Prius. So when you're out there with your high-end cars and you're putting the best of the best in them because that's what the factory book said and you don't want it conking out on the side of the road, we need to treat our mm-hmm. bodies like that too. Like they are this high-end. Exactly. Well, even a Prius. I like my little Prius.
Our bodies are with us forever. We can't trade them in. So we have to take care of them the best way we can.
Give it to me. That's a whole word. So unlike our cars, we can't trade our bodies in. These are ours forever. So take good care. See, it's a vehicle that you have for the rest of your life. So take good care of it. That's a whole word right there. So tell me about this program that you have for families.
Oh, yes, it's a cleanse. It can either be a whole foods cleanse, or if people have already become vegan or they follow a paleo diet. What it is, it's a 7-day cleanse that I'm starting that people can perform with a group, with their family, with their friends all together. We'll do a Facebook group. We'll do a big meeting together and halfway through and at the end. Or if families or anybody as an individual wants to do it on their own, they can get the information from the website. But they get a wealth of information, guides, what to go and purchase from the store, different recipes to use, different tips about cleansing their body, using other types of things to cleanse their body of toxins. All of that information is provided in the cleanse. So it makes it pretty easy. Like we talked about, things being easy is something you can follow without thinking too much about. Preparing things in advance, it gives you information about that. So, you know, they can follow that for 7 days, 14 days, or 21 days. But the group that I'm doing is going to be 7 days. And it's right before, it starts June 25th, and it's right before our 4th of July holiday, so that when people are going out on the holiday, they have already started to develop some habits that they can continue. And when they pick the foods to eat for that holiday or that weekend, they can make healthy choices and not feel like they're missing out on anything.
Boom. Now, give me the website, and then I have a couple of questions.
Sure. The website is www.cpt.com/wellness.com, and that C as in covenant, P as in physical, T as in therapy. So it's www.cptwellness.com.
Thank you. Now, with that, with what you just said, the thing that was most interesting was the social aspect of it. Because right now, you know, I'm kind of missing being around my friends and being around my loved ones. So you're saying that individuals could do this collectively while still social distancing, and you will come to them via social media. Explain that to me.
Yes. So I'm gonna do a kickoff call where everybody's joining me on a Zoom call, and we're starting this, and we're talking about how it's working for us. If people want to, you know, if you do it with, say, a sister, for example, and you want to say, well, I'm gonna see if I have gotten an increase in energy, or I was able to sleep through the night after the second day because of the different types of food choices I was making, and compare yourself to someone, kind of give a little healthy competition. But the Zoom meeting will be everybody who's joined as the group for the June 25th kickoff will be working together. Then we'll do one at the end to kind of wrap up and you know, make sure that everybody's met the goals that they set for themselves. Because at the beginning, there's a journal and a guide that each person has, and they answer some questions about how they're feeling and what their goals are. And by the end of the cleanse, they, you know, kind of like a pre and post test, at the end of the cleanse, they answer the same questions, but of course there's going to be some differences that they see. And when you can see it in front of you in writing and you can feel it, you know it's working, and that's something that you can continue.
Boom. And so with that said, if I'm not ready in June, because I'm not there just yet, this is something that's ongoing. It's something
ongoing. And if you can go to the website and take a look at what's there and decide at any time. And I'm, you know, when you fill it out, or you can send me an email inquiry through the website also, I'll be happy to follow through with you whenever you're ready.
Well, I absolutely positively love that idea, especially I like that service providers such as yourself are figuring out how to pivot so they can still service people, even though the world is changing. So Zoom and Facebook Live and Facebook groups, that's a wonderful way to get people not only moving, but also help people with that sense of community that is really needed. So in closing, one of the things that I just got to go back to, because whenever I hear something that's like a aha, I just got to say it until it becomes a part of my brain. And I will walk away from this experience thinking about my body is a vehicle that I have for the rest of my life. I can't trade it in. I have this vehicle for the rest of my life. If it conk out, I can't buy a new one. I have this vehicle for the rest of my life. And that's going to be my takeaway from our time together, that I know that I'm going to say to my son right away, because now he's 13. And so he has a vision, our visions of a Jeep in his future in 3 years. And about those vehicles. So I'm gonna let him know that Jeep, you're going to get that Jeep. Mama going to get you that Jeep. And you only have that Jeep for a few years, but that body, you're about to have that one forever. Right. So we're going to put top of the line premium in that body, because you got that body.
Only the best.
Only the best. Those physicals, checkups, going to the doctor. When that oil light come on, you hightail that high-end car to the dealership because you want to take care of your investment. We're going to make our appointments. We're going to get our bodies checked up. If we are women, we are going to go in and get our mammograms. We're going to do all the things that we need to do to take care of ourselves, because this is a vehicle that we are going to have for the rest of our lives. And some of us already got a lot of miles on it.
That's what that we call that wisdom. That's and what, we can definitely use that. Those like miles that. Make a difference.
Those miles make a difference. So we get better with age. We might be vintage. So our worth is more. So we definitely got to take care of all of these vintage parts.
That's right.
Well, I have certainly enjoyed our time together. I thoroughly appreciate the analogy of the vehicle. And thank you. Just as a mom, as a woman, thank you. I came on here for information about my son, and you gave me an aha moment about me as a woman and my vehicle. And oh, you know what? I'm about to take it one step further.
Women,
in our vehicle, we are carrying our loved ones. We are carrying our children. So therefore, we want to make sure that our vehicles are top of the line. Our vehicles are well maintenance, because we carry in a lot of folk.
Yes, you are. Your precious cargo.
Boom. I think that is a wonderful place to end. Precious cargo. So take care of those vehicles. And again, thank you enough for coming on and sharing your wisdom to us in some straight talk.
You are welcome. Thank you so much for having me. I really enjoy your podcast.
Oh, well, thank you for saying that. Each week on Straight Talk with Dr. L, I will work through a topic related to young children, families, parenting, or womanhood with my top-notch village, to which you now belong. So, to ensure the topics are relevant to your needs, concerns, and interests, the topics for each episode will be developed based on questions submitted to askdrl@kinderjam.com. So, shoot me an email at askdrl@kinderjam.com. And lastly, remember, it takes a village. And if you didn't have one before, you certainly have one now. And together, we got this. Boom! Let's talk again soon.